Okay, today's daf from the Sechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalet. And you'll recall that yesterday we had this entire issue about whether we would say Michtas Ktuta Shiura in cases where we were dealing with a shoe that had a nega. And since a nega, beged with a nega, ultimately needs to be destroyed, and we're going to burn it. So the question was, is it considered to be Ktusei Michta Shiure? In the end, the Gemara brought the Pusik that said, the Vivisaraf et HaBeged, that you see that even Bisha'ah, that we're destroying it, it's still called a Beged, which means that the Torah is Megala, that the shoe is a shoe is a shoe, even if it is Mukhla, not to mention Muska, where we don't yet have the din of the Visaraf. So today, we had that discussion yesterday with Papa's approach and with Papi's approach. And today we have a psak on this, four lines up from the bottom. Omar Rava, in terms of the halacha, Hilchata Echad Sandal Hamuzgar Vechad Sandal Shumuchlat. So two cases. Those are what we discussed yesterday. And Rava's about to say, do not use it Lechatchila, but if you did use it, it's kosher B'diavad. Now, that means that basically we're going according to what the sheet that we said yesterday, which is that the Torah calls it a beged, come hell or high water. Okay, but now, what about a third case, which encroaches a little bit in this sugya? And what is that? A sandal that is shel avodat kochavim. Now here, the issue is like this. If this were actually part of a worshipped item, so then, l'chora, you're supposed to destroy all of these things, right? So it should be k'tutei michtat shiure. But what we're talking about over here, as Rashi explains, is an avodah zorah that is owned by a non-Jew. Now, when an avodah zorah is owned by a non-Jew, it can be batel. If the non-Jew decides that, oh, this is garbage, and takes a hammer and splashes it in the face, it's no longer an avodah zarah, right? So therefore, it is not omed necessarily for sreifa and michtat ktutei shiure. Masha inkein, if it's actually brought up as a gift to avodah zarah, then it's a korban, you can never be mevatel that iser. Even a goy can't be mevatel that iser. So we're going to be mavdil these two cases. First of all, a shoe that is placed on an idol. Now, as an aside, because this is what we're going to be getting to, any shoe that is not meant for walking in is not considered to be a shoe at all. So if it's put on an idol, then lechora, it is not a shoe for walking, right? Because the idol doesn't walk. So how could we call it a shoe? So therefore, we have to be talking about, says Rashi, a shoe that is put on an idol when they move it around. So here we got this parading idol, you know, and somebody's moving it up. So they put these shoes on to make it look like it's really a living kind of thing. So therefore, the halacha is, says Rava, that because one of the three cases that is similar to Ktutei Michtat Shiure would be a sandal of Averis Kechovin that is actually brought to an Averis Kechovin as an offering. Now that's something else. That would be Ktutei Michtat Shiure. So in order to avoid any cases which have a semblance to Ktutei Michtat Shiure, all of those are not to be used l'chatchila. However, if you ended up using it, there's no problem because is no Ktutei Michtat Shiure in these three cases. So therefore, whether you're talking about a sandal musker with tzarat, or you're talking about a sandal mukhlat with tzarat, or you're talking about a sandal of an avodis kechovin that is owned by a goy, you should not use it lechatchila lo tachalot. But if you did, im chaltza chalitza takshera, the one case that we made the gezerah on all of these not to do a lechatchila is the one case where it would be possible even b'diavad. And what is that? In the event, chalitza tak, was with takrovet avodat kochavim, and it's something that had been brought to an idol, which is also leomeyad, or let's say it was of an ir hanidachat, and an ir hanidachat, everything in the ir hanidachat is going to be burned, or let us say a zaken, that is asui lichvodo. So this means that Talmud Chacham, who is going to be buried in Tachrichin, they made this as part of what will be used for the Tachrichei HaMeit, and anything that is used by a mate would be Osir Ba'anah, but what's the big deal? Remember that Chalitza is a mitzvah, and mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. So even the cases that are Osir Ba'anah, like an Avodah Zorah, would not be a problem. It only would be a problem in the first cases of Ketutei Michta Chiyure. What would be the problem in this case? Ah, here's where we get to the new issue that I mentioned earlier. And that is a shoe that is not meant to walk in. So a shoe that was made to be buried in is not made for halicha. And therefore, it's not a shoe because it isn't meant to be used for halicha, as we'll see. And therefore, if you used it, even b'di'avad, the chalitza would be psula. Omer Ravina l'Ravashi, I don't understand why, therefore, we can ever do chalitza with those crazy shoes that they make in Beis Din. None of them are made to walk in. Did you ever see anybody walk in a nutty shoe like that? So that should mean that ipso facto, a chalitza shoe is possible for chalitza. Because it's only being made for chalitza. Brilliant question, right? So if you're telling me that the shoe that was made for the burial of the zakeh is, and it's talking about over here where we don't even have the whole shaila of whether it would be usher because he's still alive, and then we would be getting into the question of hazmana milta or lav milta. So that's not the issue. It's only because the lav leilucha of it. It isn't being made for walking in. So then, if that's the case, the same thing should be true. De Beidina, a shoe that's made specifically to use in Beis Din for chalitza is not kosher for chalitza because it wasn't made for halicha. Isn't that crazy? Omar Lay, so he answered him, Ravashi answered Ravina, Omar Lay, Ilu maski be shilucha de Beidina, mikoper ale dayana. Let's say that the shliach Beis Din that was bringing this shoe to the Beis HaChalitza. So if he needed to walk in it because there was a lot of rain and he didn't have a Rebbe around with his eyes closed to protect him that was having tremendous kavana, so then if he would put on those shoes, would the Beis Din have him arrested for stealing the Chalitza shoe? No, it's okay. You can use the Chalitza shoe in a pinch. So therefore, it's still considered to be a shoe. Now, it's very interesting, Rabbi Yisai, that because of this, the minhag has become, and according to some, it's mamash halacha, the minhag has become that the yavam will put on the chalitza shoe and walk with it for arba amos. So, okay. So, therefore, I mean, it's a pretty weak reason to walk in at arba amos, because the whole point of the Gemara is you don't need to actually use it. You just need that it should be available for use. But so because of that, there's other issues. So again, there's a lot of discussion. Why would we want him to walk in it? So what's interesting is that there's a machlokas halacha lemaisa. Suppose the yavam is left footed. What happens then? Since we learn out that you need to use a right foot from Mitzera, is a left-footed Yavam, does his right foot is now a left foot? Does it go according to the right foot of regular people? Or can he not do Chalitza at all? If he doesn't have a right foot, which is right-footed, then you can't do Chalitza. Unbelievable. So therefore, we would want him to walk around so that we could see whether he's right-footed or left-footed, you see? And that would be another very interesting reason, because there's other reasons. Does the shoe really fit the foot, or does it fall off? And we said, if he can't really walk in it, so then it's not kosher. So again, there's plenty of reasons for us to actually be makpid on. I just want to mention, by the way, also, that even though we haven't learned anything about the right hand of the Yavama, we've only learned about the right foot of the Yavam, and we said before that, you know, you want to get a chalitza off to the right foot, then you have to walk in it arba amos, right? So this halacha that she is supposed to be using her right hand, that comes from the Yerushalmi. We don't have any mocker here in this Gemara, but in the Bavli. But in the Yerushalmi, it says Beferish that she should use her right hand for the chalitza, and it's comparable to the din of the right foot. Okay, we are now ready for that very special moment in which, before the departure of the Capitan on his long journey to Helsinki and from there to Ritchie's Island, we have him, I think, for one of the last times in the next week, we have him in Eretz HaKadosh.
Anyway, these boots were made for walking. And that's just what they'll do.
And the dock is getting closer, so you should do it too. Let's say that she does the chalitza at night. The chalitza is kosher, but Rabbi Elazar says, no, chalitza is pasul. Let's say that she does chalitza using a left foot. Then the chalitza is pasul, and Rabbi Elazar dafke is machshir. Some changes to Rabbi Eliezer, but we'll stick with this gersi here through the Gemara. Anyway, the question is, what is the problem? How is it an issue whether chalitza is done in the daytime or the nighttime, that we should find that the Tanakhama would say it's kosher and Rabbi Elazar would say it's pasul? So lechora, the question over here is that when the Torah says va'al piyem yeh kol riv v'chol nega, so then that means the kohanim and dayanim, the Torah is comparing a riv has to do with financial arguments in front of the court, to negoyim. That is to say, negoyim, the halacha of you'll notice a very strange pattern here. Besides the strange pattern of such important people covering their faces with words, but besides that pattern, there's another strange pattern. And that is, how come Tsaras is showing up all over the place here? And we started off with a quite totally unrelated issue about whether if the shoe has tsaras, what the din is. Then we're going to learn out the whole question of why you need to use a right foot instead of a left foot is learned from the Mitzora, where it says, bohen raglo hayimanit. And that's the makor of needing a right foot bichlal. And now we have another issue of tsarat, which is the question of riv venega, whether since it says by a Mitzora, then biyom heira otpo means that you can only be don sarat in the daytime. So then if that's the case, then it would mean that riv venega is comparing dinim, which would mean that the court cannot do dinim at night. What in the world does this have to do with chalitza, you would ask? Well, remember that the moment that she does chalitza, she is now essentially collecting her ketubah. Because as long as the issue was open and there was the possibility of yibum, then the ketubah was still going to simply be transferred. It was going to be flipped from Baalah HaRishon to the Yavam. But the moment that he does chalitza, it's now collectible from the estate of Baalah, which means that in doing chalitza, they are essentially dealing with the question, the monetary issue. So maybe that's the machlokas. If you hold of the general halacha that dine mominis are meant to be learned out of negoyim, so that would mean that you would not be able to do chalitza at night. But if you don't hold that in general, there's a comparison between riven and negoyim, so then you would be able to do chalitza at night. And that's the machlokas. Mar savra lo makshinan rivim l'negoyim. But gentlemen, one thing you do see, huh? At least from the pattern, how often I've pointing out that the Gemara is so weird in its multi-leveled structure that it always manages to introduce a Mishnah with something that has to do with the issue in the Mishnah without, like you're saying, how the heck did we get here from the previous Mishnah? And it always gives you that segue and you're thinking, What's really going on over here? So this is part of the mystery of the brilliant Seder of the Gemara, as the Rambam has pointed out. This is not human. This multi-leveled hypertext structure is just too complex to have been done without artificial intelligence, or maybe Ruach HaKodesh. So, because of that, all right, so we start off with that machlokas, right? Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe, lo, maybe the Kuliyama lo makshina rivim l'negayin. Maybe there is no hekesh, because if there were, consider that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that even though you cannot start a suit, or you cannot appear before Beis Din at the beginning of a case at night, but once the case is already being discussed, you can complete the din at night. Now, if the mukker was the hekesh of Rivim to Negoim, you would not be able to do anything of the din at night. So obviously, and there is another mukker in the Gemara Sanhedrin, is a mukker from the steer of the Pesukim. He said, Kam Belayla, Kam Beyom. And so, obviously, our Mishnah cannot be explained by saying that that's the Machlokas, because if that were the case, then the Mishnah in Sanhedrin wouldn't make sense, where you are allowed to be Goyim of the Din Beyom. So, Imakshin and Afilu Gemara Din Belayla and Amilo. So then what is the Machlokas? The Machlokas is Hacha Baka Mifagit. That actually, Rabbi Lozer holds Mar Savar, the din of Chalitza, because it's the start of the collection process of the Ketubah, is considered to be the beginning of the din. And since it's the beginning of the din, and we learn out in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the beginning of the din cannot be done in the nighttime. So therefore, he says it's bustle at night. Masha Inke, the Tanakama holds, Umar Savar Chalitza Kigmar Din Damia. What would be the book of the Machlokes? So the Achronim explained the mokra of the machlokis would be the question of whether the ketubah, because of the she'ibud on the ketubah, is considered to actually be kigvuyadam. Yeah, the moment that the chalitza is chal, so then it's not that it begins a case. It gives her the halach of ownership on the ketubah. Then the practicalities of the collection, that's just court processing, but that's not dinim. Okay. Anyway, Rabba Barchia Ketosfa'a, and as far as I know, this Ketesiphon is part of Barnea's neighborhood, and he apparently can't show his face, so he wouldn't argue with me. So therefore, when he, Rabba Barchia, from Ketosfa'a, he went ahead and he did a crazy chalitza. Listen to what he did. First of all, he took these felt kippi shoes, and he used them for chalitza. Felt. Well, remember, felt could be wool felt, right? I mean, maybe it was a Borsellino Chalitza shoe. So then the question is how, I mean, after all, we said that anything that comes from the animal, including the animal hair, which would be wool, would still be able to be maybe included in Tachash if it was strong enough. Okay, so we'll have to see what that comes from. But anyway, he went ahead and used mukmuk. And mukmuks are basically kippy shoes made out of felt. And not only that, he did it at night. Woof. And even worse, he was all alone. And he didn't have any other dayanim, and the Mishnah says you need three dayanim. So Shmuel said, well, this guy is a serious Talmud Chacham, let me tell you. He figured out how to do everything like a Das Yochid. So I guess he must be brilliant. This is something of a sarcastic comment, obviously. So my Kasha asked the Gemara, which part of what was done over here well, I see Barnea's here. Is it true that Ketesiphon is part of Barnea's neighborhood or not? We need to have a definite psak on this. I can't hear you. You were never there, you're saying? I'm not catching it. But apparently it's on another planet because Barnea wasn't there, and the Barnea tours don't extend yet outside of the solar system, I think. Anyway, so what's Shmuel's problem with what happened over here with Rabba Barchia? Is it because of the mooks? I mean, the mooks were said by Atstam Tana, we said before, right? I mean, we said in the Braita, and it said that mook was kosher, okay? If it's because he did it at night, we also said in the Mishnah over here, the Tanakhama said, Chalsa Balayla, it's kosher. And now, by the way, your obvious immediate response should be, and probably is, It says it's kosher, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to do it that way. So why did he go ahead and do it that way? Wouldn't that be a problem? So Tosfos says, yes, the truth is that that would have been a response. The thing is that Shmuel, in making his sarcastic comment, said that the problem is a das yochid. See, that's the problem. Now, in the end, we're going to see that that's good for the point, that the das yochid was actually based on Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who did it l'chatchila. So in the end, we come around to this nafka mina between l'chatchila b'diavad. But right now, we're focusing, says Tosfos, on what Shmuel said. Shmuel made a sarcastic comment, right? Just go around finding the only guy that's going to hold of what you did is kosher, and then you'll do it, right? So is it the mook problem? No, because mooks are stomp. Is it the night problem? No, because nights are stomp. So what would it be? It would be the fact that you did it alone. And doing it alone, the Mishnah says that it would be three. And over there, it's true there is a shita of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says that if you do it alone, it's kosher. But that's a das yochid. And it says in the Mishnah later on that if the Tanan, Chalitza B'Shnayim, you did Chalitza in front of only two Dayanim, or maybe even three Dayanim, but one of them turns out to be Pasul because he's related or something else. So the halacha is over there that the Chalitza is Psula according to the Tana Kama, and Reb Shimon and Reb Yochanan and Sandler say it's kosher. And actually, there was even a Maisa of someone who was, there was no one around, and he was in jail, and so on. He was Chalitz Ben Olavina, and he did this Bebeta Asurin. And they asked Rabbi Akiva whether the chalitz is kosher. There was no way to get anybody else in there. So he did it, but he did it. There were Edim, but there weren't any Dayanim. And Rabbi Akiva was makshir. The Omer of Yosef Bar Minyume, this piece is taken out. And all the Rishonim say this is a mistake. And so on. It's not the point. I'm talking about Rabbi Akiva here. So because of that, Shmuel said, boy, this guy must be really great if he's able to do only like a das yochid. So that must be what he was complaining about. Well, you know what? Maybe the whole thing bothered him. Because what Rabbi Chiya was doing over here, Rabbi Bar Chiya, I mean, was doing over here, was basically doing l'chatchila what only one person ever did. And that was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who says, I saw Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was Cholatz B'muk B'yechidi U'Balayla. And he went ahead and did exactly the same thing. And that we don't find any support for outside of the Das Yochid of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Okay, anyway, getting on to the next Mishnah, the next piece of the Mishnah, which is B'smol. So we have a Machlokas over here again, the Tanakama. This time we have an inverse. Tanakama holds its puzzle. Rebbe Lozer holds its kosher. Why would the Tanakama hold at a left foot is pasul? Omar Rula, well, obviously we learn it from Saras again, right? So it says regal over there, boen raglo hayimanit, and it says meal raglo over here. So just like over there, regal is yimanit by a mitzora, so too regal by the chalitza is yamin. Malahalan diyamin afkan diyamin. And Rabbi Elazar, so what are you telling me? Rabbi Elazar, he holds its kosher. Why? He doesn't learn regal mi mitzora. We know that he does learn from Mitzora because he himself learned Yamin from Mitzora, a true, not about feet, but about ears. So, thank you, Gavi, for the illustrations over here. So, we're talking about a right ear as opposed to a right foot. Now, where is it, Negea, right ear? That's talking about Ritzia, right? So, over there also, which ear is put up against the wall in order to do Ritzia? So he learns out, Rabbi Elazar is good for the one in the Brisa who learns out from Tsaras that you have to use a right ear. So minai l'ritzia shuba ozen hayimanit, because he says nemar kan ozen by the din of the Evan. V'nemar lahalan ozen in terms of the halacha of the Tyrus Hamitzera. Just like over there it says ozno hayimanit avkan yamin. So it has to mean the same thing over here. So, I mean, I guess if you're learning Ozen from Mitzora, Why wouldn't you learn regel regel from Mitzrayim? So why would Rabbi Elazar object to the din of the Tanna Kamma that it would be mutter over here? That should be the same din as the Mitzrayim. And therefore, it wouldn't be kosher. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yehoshua. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. You're right. Apparently, we flipped the das of Rabbi Elazar with the Tanna Kamma. It doesn't make sense because Gufa, it must be Rabbi Elazar who does use the Gzera Shava. Says Rava, no. There's a big difference between right ears and right feet. Why? Because the ears are extra, but the toesies are not. How is that? The fact is that ozen, ozen is mufna, and regel, regel is not mufna, at least not on both sides of the equation. And therefore, since Aliba de Rabbi Elazar, Rashi says this is mamish the mocker, to the whole halach we find all over Shas, the man, the Amar who holds that where it's mufna mitzad echad, that we do a gezerah shava, but we're able to ask a kasha. That is Rabbi Elazar, is from this sugya. And therefore, since Rabbi Elazar holds that you need to be mufna mishnei atzadim, therefore he doesn't learn the gezerah shava about toesies. He only learns the gezerah shava about ears, but the ears are not in the sugya of chalitza. Okay, but then you're telling me that there's a reason not to. Because, I mean, even he would agree that it does, it is the Gzeira Shava, but you got to figure out why we would use the Gzeira Shava, even against the obvious question. What's the obvious question? I mean, what's wrong with learning toesies the same way that we learn out ears, Lechora, right? Of course, the Chalitza toesies is not good. It would have to be feet, because otherwise we wouldn't have the din that the moment that you pull the shoe off of the Akev, she's kosher. So I'm just being cute. But I'm being wrong, so please don't make any mistakes. It's not a function of toesies, even though by the mitzora, it is a function of toesies. I'm having totally wrong. But the point over there is, it says the toe on his right foot. So it is talking about feet as well, right? Okay, so what is the question that you would ask to say that we should not actually make the comparison? V'chilo mufne, what's the pircha? I don't see. Is there a problem? Yes, the problem is that since it's not mufne mishnei tzadim, we would say you can't, it's not fair to learn it out from the mitzora, because look, obviously the mitzora is going to be much more specific. Because look at all these other dinim that appear by tzaraz. Okay, you need to have an eitz eretz. You need to have an ezov. You need to have shnito la'at. I mean, these are like details. The Torah is really into precisely how it is you're going to be betar the mitzora. We don't find that level of requiring X, Y, and Z in order to do chalitz. It's just a very general kind of statement. So memela, it's very likely that this additional hakpadah of a right foot as opposed to a left foot is part of the other issues about the eight eras, the ezov, and the shnitolat. And therefore, since he holds you need to be moved to mishnei tzadim, Rabbi Elazar argues, and he says, we don't have any basis to pasul a chalitza on a left foot. Which brings us to starting off on a left foot over here. There we go. But are you left-footed as well? Not everyone who's left-handed is left-footed. There's an easy way to tell, by the way. When you work out and do your steps, which ones do you do first? The right foot first or the left foot first stepping? Because all... What's that?
Left.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now we know. Says the Mishnah. So let's say that, remember, we have like these different things that need to be done, right? We have the actual act of the chalitza. We have the rokka, so she has to spit. And we have the things that need to be said. It says, V'amar, lo chafatzi lekachta, amra, lo me'en yabmi, and then the amira of the Beit Chalutz Hanal, and so on. So there's like all types of ingredients which one of these ingredients are critical for the success of the chalitza and which are not. So says the Mishnah like this. Suppose she did the chalitza and she did the rekika, but she did not say the things that she needed to say. She didn't say me'eni abmi and so on. So the halacha over there is that the chalitza is kosher, and we don't find the machlokas about this. How about if she said the psukim and she spit, but she never took off a shoe? Over there, there's nobody who would say you can do chalitza without taking off a shoe. But the chalitza is pasul. Now, usually, as we say, remember, there's a klal. When we say a get is pasul, it means that a woman is usur to marry, but it also means that it is a get vis-a-vis a kohen. So when she finally does get a get, or she shoots her husband, she still can't marry a kohen, because there's a reyach get over here, and it's only a pasul get. Same thing is true by chalitza. The normal usage of the word chalitza psula, as opposed to ina chalitza, or ein kan beit michush, as we'll see, the meaning of chalitza psula is that it is a chalitza vis-a-vis making her asura for yibum on the brothers. Because remember, if you do chalitza, you give a get, or another brother does mimer, then she is not able to get yibum. She can only get chalitza. So therefore, it would appear that over here the chalitza is only pasul, but it's not a zero. How about if she did the chalitza, she did the kriyat hapsukim, but she never spit at the guy? So there we have a machlokis Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar omer chalitza tapsula without the spitting, and Rabbi Akiva says chalitza taksheira. So therefore, let's get to understanding the psukim, which is the basis of the machlokis Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Amale Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Akiva, how can you say such a thing? We know that whenever the Torah says kocha, the word kocha means ikuva. So therefore, if it says kocha yeasela ish, okay, so then it means everything is ma'akev. So therefore, if she doesn't spit, where's the kacha? That's the whole point, saying this shall be done to the man who refuses to build his brother's home, and that included the rekika, and therefore should be pasul. So how do you explain that, Rabbi Akiva? Omale, Rabbi Akiva, that is a raya? I love it the way you quote two words of the pasuk instead of the third word. Kocha yeaseh la'ish. Aha. So what are we saying kocha about? Only those things that are done to the body of the man, which does not include spitting. It's only the removal of the shoe. So that's why I'm saying kocha yeaseh la'ish. It's called a vashu ma'aseh be'ish as opposed to the spitting. Now let's see some of the other places where we have psulim that have not been discussed yet. So suppose the chalitza was done on a yavam who was a cheresh. So this was a cheresh that was nechlatz from her. That is not considered to be a chalitza, as we'll see. But it is a chalitza psula. And a choletzit lekatan, also, the chalitza is psula. So in all of these cases, over there, they're not charashim, but if it's a katan. Kitana shechaltza, if she did chalitza as a kitana, she has to do chalitza again when she grows up. But if not, the chalitza is psula. So we have to see why, because bepashtas, do we need das or not? That we'll see in the Gemara. Suppose she did chalitza with only two dayanim. Or suppose she did, this is the mission we were referring to earlier, or she had three dayanim and one of them turns out to be a kor of her pasul. So there we have what we learned before, chalitza tapsula, Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan, Sander, and Machshir, and we had the maise with Reb Akiva, where a guy did chalitza when he was in jail, and there were only eidim, but there were no dayanim, and by myself, then Reb Akiva, and Reb Akiva said that it's kosher, bidi avat. So even though we learned it out of the zikenim, but remember that Rabbi Akiva holds that the kacha is only on the Maisim that we need Kacha, and therefore on the Psukim that are talking about going to Zikanim, Dafka doesn't say Kacha. And if it doesn't say Kacha, it's not Ma'akev, and therefore B'diavad says Rabbi Akiva, it's kosher. Fine. So now, let's start the first piece of the Mishnah. So she goes ahead, she did Chalitza, she did Rikika, but she did not do the Kriya. So we said, that's okay. So Omar Rabba, well, if you don't need a Kriya, so then the halacha should be that if a person who cannot speak, so he's mute, he's an elam, or she is an elamit, he has to say lo chafatzti, and she has to say me'en yabmi, right? So you would think, oh, so then they can't do chalitza because they can't be mekayimit. But you said that it doesn't matter if the kriya is done, so then the chalitza should be kosher. Ask the Gemara, but the very next piece in the Mishnah says that if a Cheresh does Chalitza, or a Chareshes does Chalitza, or Choletzet Mina Katan, the Chalitza is Psula. Now, I'm assuming that the Chalitza is Psula. Now, this is strange. Tosus discusses this. I'm assuming that the reason that the Chalitza is Psula is because they cannot say these words, because Cheresh, remember, by definition, means he is a deaf mute. So he's unable to speak, because I don't believe that the reason that the chalitza is psula is simply because of the fact that they don't have das. Because why, says Tosus? Because since it's being done al pi beit din, in a case where someone who doesn't have da'at is being overseen by a gadol, and indicates by the way that he does things that he knows, shmu, you're falling asleep, shmu, you're falling asleep, shmu, there you go, indicates by what he's doing that machshavto nikeret mitoch ma'asav, that would mean that we would allow it because of the das of the bezer, the das of the gadol that's emid al gabav. So we assume that the reason that it's pasul is because, well, it can't be mekayim the pasuk, right? Says the Gemara, no, not right. The reason is because la v'nei de'a. It's actually, we're going to see, that we need to have both the kavana of the yavam and of the yavama. Remember, we spoke about this earlier. So since a cheresh is considered to be mechuser de'a, so it's not considered to be kosher, even al pi bezdin. But if that's the case, an elam and elemet, also, if the guy can't talk, doesn't that show that he is basically without any dot? No. Omar Rav, of course not. Remember, we have that whole sug in Chagiga. And we talked about those two people that were miskenim. They were learning. They used to come every day to the shir that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was giving, and their lips were moving, but they weren't able to talk. And everybody assumed that they were incompetent in their brains. And it turned out he was mispalel for them, and they ended up being bekiyim and shas and everything. So it's not true. And Elam v'Elamet are b'nei de'a ninu. Their only problem is that something's wrong with the connection to their mouth, so to speak. So let's say if they had a muscle spasm that would prevent them from moving their lips, you would call somebody a mental incompetent? No, it's pumayo tekoivle. But wait a minute, Rabbi Yonai says that the reason that they're puzzle is because it says in the Torah v'amar, and it says ve'amra, so she's supposed to say me'en yabmi, and she can't because whatever you say, her muscles don't work. But the bottom line is she can't say it, and he can't say lo chafatzi lekachta. I thought you just said that there's no problem. You don't have to be able to say those words, because if you don't say it, it's kosher. Ah, okay. The point over here is that ki itmar derava. This idea that Rava said was going on the seifa of the Mishnah that says Chereshet shechalat, Chareshet shechaltza, and Choletzet min hakatan, Chalitzata psula, and there, no, Meimar, Rava was saying on the Mishnah, now that you're telling me that you need to be able to be korei, therefore an ilem ve'ilemet that did Chalitza, the Chalitza is posel. Why? I thought we learned out that if it doesn't say kacha on that part, it's not possible. Ah, because it's going like Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira's famous mamar. Please make sure, Moshe Foreman, that this is in your list, that you're going to make sure that everyone gets, and everyone else keep it in your own private lists of munachim, one of the most beautiful munachim is kol ha-ro'ui le-bila ein bila ma-kevet bo. Because eino ro'ui le-vila vila ma-kevet bo. This is a general concept that is based on Menachos, which I'll explain in a moment, which means it may well be that a particular procedure is not necessary in order to be able to be mekayim, the correct din. However, the potential for the procedure has to be there. If you don't even have the potential of the procedure, then it is ma'akev. And the classic example of this, and where Rabbi Zera said his rule, is in fact bila. Bila means where the Torah says about a mincha that you need to be bolel. Bolel means you need to mix the mincha properly. Now, the halacha is that an improper bila is not ma'akev, and the mincha is kosher, even though the oil was gathered on one side and then mixed properly with the solet and so on. However, listen to this halacha. If you make a neder that you're bringing a mincha of 60 or less, a seronot, then you put it into one kli. But once you go above 60, you cannot bring it in one kli. Why? Because you cannot do belila properly in a single container of 60 plus yisronot. Yes, the Gemara over there, but belila is not ma'akev, so what's the difference? Ah, says Rabbi Zera, the difference is, if there's a potential for belila, then belila is not ma'akev, but if there's not even a potential for belila, so then belila is ma'akev. So in terms of our halacha over here, if the Rebbe is able to put his camera in a way that you could actually see his face, so then it's not ma'akev. But if he wouldn't even be able to show his face, there you go. So then it would have been ma'akev, but Baruch Hashem, it's okay here. So therefore, the Mishnah is going according to the Shita over here, and that's what it's saying. If you can't talk, then it's ma'akev. If you can talk, then your talking is not ma'akev. Sholchu le'avu et Shmuel. They sent a halacha, and it said, then they sent this to Avu et Shmuel, a Yavama who spits at one of the Yavamim, and they're all sitting there in the court, she cannot get Yibam anymore. She stomp spits. You bums. I hate your guts. Poof. And she spits at the Yavam. She can no longer get Yibam. She can only get Chalitza. Because we're worried, the Chorat saying, we're worried that her Kavana in spitting was for Chalitza. But, I mean, the question over here is that, I mean, is that enough to do chalitza? I mean, if it's saying she can only get chalitza, you're telling her that spitting itself is enough to passel her. But who is that going according to? I thought we said that spitting is not enough. Money. I mean, if you want to tell me it's going a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, that's ridiculous, because Rabbi Akiva says that if you do spitting even when you're trying to do chalitza, hashtu ma b'moka mitzvah. We're over here, we came in order to do the mitzvah. We're over there, you could say, maybe it would be similar to a halacha that we find about the emurim of a carbon. So, okay, the din is an emurim of a carbon that in the event that something happened to them, that they were lost, right, or they became tummy, whatever. So over there, you're allowed to eat the basar. This is machlokas, but you're allowed to eat the basar without bringing the emurim. The chilet, no, if they're not there, they're not ma'akev. But as long as the emurim are there, you cannot eat the basar unless you actually are first makriv the emurim. So therefore, in such a case, you would think maybe the same thing is true over here, since the yavama is there. And it's possible for her to spit, so that should be ma'akev. Rabbi Akiva said, no, absolutely not, said Rabbi Akiva. It is not ma'akev, because it's not done to the body of the ish. It's kach yasel ish. So he's going to tell her that stam, she's not even trying to do chalitza. Rabbi Akiva is going to say that it passes her on the brothers. If it's not even in the context of chalitza. So who are you going to say it's going like? It's going to go like Rebbe Lozer, who says that chalitza, actually rikika is ma'akev chalitza. And because of that, if she does the rikika and she doesn't do the chalitza, that's enough for her to be puzzled on all of the brothers for Yibam. That doesn't make sense either, because there's another klal that this contradicts. And what is that? That is a halacha, that if you have two matirim, then one matir without the other is insufficient. So this is very much the same idea that we're going to see this in a minute, the raya to this from Kachim. You'll notice that everything that we're bringing on here now is we've switched to the comparison to the inyanim of Kachim, Bila, and in this case, Shnei Matirin, they're not Malim Zebezeh. So if you need the Yurikika and you need the Chalitza, then Rikika without Chalitza violates the halacha that we find by Kachim, which is that in a case where there are two matirim for a korban or for a basar or for something that you're going to be eating, that you must have both matirim or bust. You are not able to use it. And therefore, over here also, so this would be the case where you need to have, let's say, shchita for the kivsei atzeres, which we'll see in a moment. And you also need to have zrika. So remember that we have the special din of the shtei halechem, but the shtei halechem have matirin. The matirin are the kvasim. So the question over here is, do you need shchita and zrika? So according to Rabbi Elazar, you need both matirin. So according to this, they would not be malim ze below ze. So who's it going like? Not Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Elazar. Oh, it's going like Rabbi. Rabbi actually holds the Gabe Kachim, that if there are two matirin, you can have one without the other. The Tanya. Kivse atzeret, ein mekachin alechem, ela b'shchita. Ketzad? Let's say you did the shchita of the kivse atzeret. Remember, the kivse atzeret are the special shalmeit sibor. They're called the only kvasim, kivsei shalmei tzibur, zivchei shalmei tzibur, they're called in general. That is a reference to the only time that a tzibur brings a korban shlomim, and it has a din of kachim instead of kachim kalim. And those are brought together with the shtei halechem. I'm sure you could see the relationship of the inyan of shlomim with shtei halechem and how a tzibur, for the only time, is able to bring the on Shavuos, or it's able to bring Shlomim. In any event, so these Kivsei Atzeret are Mekachin B'Shchita. So let's say you did the Shchita L'Shma, and you did the Zrika L'Shma, the Kodesh Halech. You did the Shchita Shalo L'Shma? Oh, then even though you did the Zrika L'Shma, Lo Kidesh Halech. Suppose you did the Shchita L'Shma and the Zrika Shalo L'Shma, it's sort of Kadesh. Kadesh ve'eno Kadesh. It becomes Kadesh to the sense that it's nifsal biyotze. We often see this, that something that is Kadesh kedush aguf, the moment you take out of the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes pasul biyotze. But since you didn't do both matirin, it's not allowed to be eaten. So says Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, La'olam eino kodesh, no kedusha at all until you do both the shchita lishman and the zrikas domim lishman. So therefore, if you have shnei matirin, Rebbe holds that even one matir gives it the kedusha, that it's considered to be a real matir. So over here too, even though I only did one thing, namely the rikika, that is enough. It's sort of lishma v'shalo lishma, so to speak, in the same way. It's enough to passel her from the brothers, but it's not enough to be mater. Leolam, same thing as we have over here.